Well, Martin, who'd have thought that us not winning a British Podcast Award wouldn't be the biggest news of recent weeks in this podcast?
You can't believe it, can you? You really can't believe it. This is going to be a big episode. I will tell you now, we are very excited. We're chomping at the bit to get going. We cannot believe it. Some big news. If you're out of the Eurovision loop, we will fill you in and we will bring you everything you need to know on this episode of
Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Eurovision.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the news is welcome to Nullpois. I'm Laura, that's Martin there. We are a UK Eurovision podcast. We love everything about Eurovision. And, well, this is possibly the biggest news that a UK Eurovision podcast could have, really, apart from the UK winning it. And that news is, of course, it's going to be hosted in the UK next year, 2023. Eurovision is coming to the UK.
Did you think you'd ever see a day when that was a thing that we could legitimately say?
Genuinely, no. Because considering the performances of the UK recently, I just didn't think that was possible. Obviously, we'll get into this a bit more. And coming up, by the way, because a lot of the talk now is going to be, well, it's going to be in the UK, but where's it going to be hosted? Have we got a fun little segment for you? We're going to be chatting to some people all around the UK, different people, and they're going to try and sell their city for where the Eurovision should be hosted to us. But yeah, we should talk about the fact that obviously whilst it is being hosted in the UK, it's being hosted for Ukraine because obviously Ukraine won. Normally the winning city should host it, but there's a war happening in Ukraine. EBU looked into it, decided it couldn't happen there. So whilst it is being hosted in the UK, it's very much going to be having a Ukraine flavour to it.
Yeah, and what I really liked was something that Sam Ryder, UK Eurovision entry for 2022, put on his social media, and I think he summed it up so well. He said it's Ukraine's party, they're just holding it at our house, which I just think is such a lovely way of putting it. Like, yeah, we're really sad that it can't be in Ukraine, and the people of Ukraine are, and the people of Europe are, I think, as well, but for understandable reasons that can't happen. So Ukraine can have the party. Yeah. Have it round our gaff.
And I think we will throw a very good party. I mean, we've just had the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, and that was a pretty spectacular sort of opening ceremony. We do throw a pretty good party, the UK, with. We kind of know what we're doing with that sort of thing. And I think if they get the tone right and if they make sure it does have a lot of Ukraine elements, I mean, we could go to a little bit of the detail that's already been revealed with this. So we know the UK is going to host it on behalf of the winning broadcaster at UAPBC, which is Ukraine's broadcaster. Ukraine's going to automatically qualify for the grand final along with the big five, which, I mean, that isn't news really, the winning country.
Because it won. Yeah.
Because it won. So that, I mean, I did find it funny when people were saying, oh, that's nice, that's good that it does. Well, they do every year. The winning country does every year. That's not like it's not a special thing for Ukraine. But that will happen. So UAPBC, it's going to be really difficult for me to get to remember to say this.
A lot of long acronyms. Yeah.
The Ukraine state broadcaster, they're going to work with the BBC to develop. And this is how the EBU put it, Ukrainian elements of shows. So I'm guessing that would be maybe Ukraine presenters taking part.
I did wonder about that. Do you not think? Yeah, will there be a Ukraine host?
Yeah.
Which would make a lot of sense, right? Maybe you could have two hosts, and one was from Ukraine and the other was from the UK.
Yeah, I think that could work, and that, you know, there's been a lot of capable Ukraine hosts, and obviously there's been lots of great Ukraine past Eurovision winners, so they've got plenty of people to choose from there. They've also said the logo of next year's Eurovision, because remember, they always have this, they always do these extra things.
Always got to think about the design elements.
Think about that design. saying that no one really notices. But yeah, the logo is apparently going to reflect the unique circumstances of staging. So I'm guessing that's going to be like maybe half UK, half Ukraine, or maybe all Ukraine. So obviously, I'm really glad they are thinking of Ukraine elements, as they should. And it's also nice to see that Kalash Orchestra, who won this year, they came out in support of the UK hosting it, as did Ukraine's culture minister. It sounds like obviously they would have preferred it to be hosted in Ukraine if possible, but they are behind the UK hosting it.
A lot of discussion then on where the Eurovision Song Contest should now be hosted.
Yes.
Now we know it's in the UK, and we might not actually find this out until the autumn, but it hasn't stopped people trying to say where they think it should be. And so what we thought we'd do, and we thought this could be a little bit of fun, is we'd pitch some cities and pit them against each other. So we've got a bit of a panel here who are representing different cities around the UK, all of them wanting their city to be the one that actually hosts the Eurovision next year. So let's find out who we've got.
Hi, I'm Hannah and I'm from Glasgow.
Hi, I'm Paul and I'm from Newcastle.
Hi, I'm Jill. I'm from Sheffield, born in Barnsley, but I've got a rather unusual take on this, where we should host next year.
And where's that?
Manchester.
Hey!
Hi, I'm Kevin and I'm backing Aberdeen's bid for Eurovision 2023.
Okay, so four cities all competing against each other for this fictional crown of glory on this episode of Null Poir. So, Hannah, let's start with you. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to pitch your city and tell me why you think that Glasgow should host the Eurovision. So your time, Hannah, starts now.
Well, I would say Eurovision should be in Glasgow because you just start off with the movie and that's where it was, and it would be a great sort of combination to look back and compare it, as well as Glasgow has transport links to pretty much everywhere in the UK, whereas some sort of smaller cities don't have as much. It's got two airports, two main train stations in Glasgow. Obviously not as much as London, but hey-ho.
And that's your time up. That's your time up. Very, very good.
That was good. That was good, Hannah. But Paul, can you do better? Let's get 30 seconds on the clock. And Paul, go.
Hi there. So I think Eurovision should be in Newcastle because, again, it's got great transport links. It meets the criteria, which I think is really important. Newcastle's got a reasonable sized arena. It's in a great location. It's close to the seaside. There's some amazing places that Euroclub could be held in. I can just imagine some great backdrops for the postcards on the quayside with the Tyne Bridge. And it's quite unique. It's not just, it's got a picture about it, and when you walk there,
that is your time up, Paul. That's your time up. All this
we're
is getting
cruel about this.
We are. This is getting very exciting. Okay, over to you, Jill, representing Manchester. Your time starts now.
Okay, amazing musical heritage, as we all know. The AO Arena has a capacity of 20,000. It's bang in the centre of the UK. It's Manchester, served by a major airport with great road and trail links, hotel Airbnb options numerous, large Ukrainian population, which I think is interesting to consider. The city is vibrant, it's multicultural, it can provide an amazing Euro village. We visit at festival times, Halloween, Christmas, and they know how to throw a party.
There we go. Oh, you did very well there, Jill. That was great. That's your 30 seconds.
Excellent stuff. Now, finally, last but not least, we've got Kevin. Right, Kevin, pitch us Aberdeen.
Yeah, Aberdeen has got the perfect venue to stage Eurovision because we've got everything under one roof. Not only do we have the arena, we've got the exhibition halls inside the arena as well for the press centre. We've got 2,000 hotel beds within a 10-minute drive. So if you've just come off a five-hour flight from Azerbaijan, you don't want to spend 2 hours on a bus going back and forth. Aberdeen is a small city. We can get the entire population of the city involved in the city centre. Plenty of space for Euro clubs, Euro villages.
And that is your 30 seconds. I'm being very cruel.
Very cruel.
I'm being very strict, but very well done to the four of you. That was very good. Hannah, let me go back to you. A lot of people talking about Glasgow at the moment. Does seem to be the bookies' favourite. What do you think it is about Glasgow that hasn't just captured the imagination? The people in Glasgow want the contest there. Why do you think so many people outside the city are saying Glasgow should be the one to host?
I think it's just because it's a wee bit different, because of automatically people just assumed capital city, London. Glasgow's not even the capital of Scotland, so it's a bit different. It is the biggest city, but not the capital. It's got an amazing arena. I think it's only 14,000, so it's not as big as Manchester. But I think even just that wee bit smaller, it creates a better atmosphere as it is. Glasgow is a great city. You've got the Clyde, you've got lots of old and modern buildings, lots of history. So it's a wonderful city. That lots of people haven't visited for, maybe want the chance to now.
You had more time for your pitch there. You were getting more extra pitching in. Jill, I just want to come to you and the fact that you don't actually live in Manchester and yet you pitch for Manchester. What's that about?
Well, I'm thinking what's best for the contest, not following any hometown loyalties. If I was, I would be pitching heavily for Sheffield. But I actually think that Manchester has got everything that this contest needs to host an amazing worldwide event, which it's turning out to be, isn't it? It's not just Europe anymore. So let's showcase the North. We're always talking about levelling up. Let's get away from the South, away from London. Birmingham's already done it. Let's go Manchester. Beautiful, vibrant city.
Kevin, let me ask you how you felt when you heard that the UK was going to be hosting. What went through your mind when that announcement happened a few days ago?
Well, basically, I've been to 23 Eurovision Song Contests across Europe, you know, from Moscow to Istanbul to Tel Aviv to all over the place. And I didn't think in a million years it would come to the UK, because obviously it's always Norpois that we normally get. And the fact that there was rumours it was coming to the UK, well, the first thing I instantly thought of, being selfish here, is we just built a brand new arena here in Aberdeen. Why shouldn't it just come here? But it's never going to happen again in my lifetime, unless, of course, we do what Ireland did and win it three times on the trot. But it's just absolutely amazing that all the places I've travelled to in Europe, and it could take place within 4 miles of where I'm sitting right now.
Paul, to you as well, your thoughts on it happening in the UK. Did you ever think this was going to happen in the past, given the past few performances? Well, not the most recent one, maybe, but before then.
I guess not. It's quite surreal. I mean, I can just vaguely remember Katrina winning in 97. And obviously, I mean, I travel a lot in Europe anyway. And, it's gone to some great cities, especially Kiev. But yeah, it's quite surreal and in complete disbelief that actually, yeah, it is going to happen in the UK. Even given what people were saying, there was almost that little bit at the end, that cruel little bit that actually, yeah, we thought it was going to be in the UK, but actually, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, look, thank you so much to the four of you for pitching your cities. Only one of you can win. I mean, none of you might, actually, as it happens. But hopefully one of you will. It would be nice. And we'll be seeing you at some point, I imagine, at a UK Eurovision venue in 2023. Really looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right, so we've heard the bids from everybody, where they think it should be hosted, and this is going to be going on for some time now, because don't forget, whilst, you know, the bids are in, it's going to be, I think, until about autumn, until we find out when this is all going to happen. So it's a while.
It's all consent, Chris, it's all consent.
It's all consent, woohoo! But who has put bids in at the moment? Well, basically everybody, I will say. Aberdeen has, Belfast, Birmingham, Brighton, Bristol, Cardiff, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool, London, Newcastle, Nottingham, Sheffield and Wolverhampton, to name but a few. The councillors, MPs, they've already put bids in. A lot of people put a bid in. But just because you put a bid in, you know, you've also got to have a suitable place. And we've discussed this before about, you know, what a host city needs to actually be a host city of Eurovision. And there's quite a few things.
Yeah, there are. And I think you could rule a few of those out already just based on what you need to have. Number one, you need to have a big international airport so that people can fly in from all over the world. You need to have enough hotel space in your city to accommodate the thousands of people that turn up as not just as part of the Eurovision delegations, but all the support staff as well, and then the public who are going to be there and wanting tickets. So you need really to be in a big city, and you need a big arena to put it on. And we mean a big arena to put it on. And not all of those places on the list that you just read out, for example, Brighton, they don't have
things. It has been hosted in Brighton before because ABBA performed
quite
there.
A long time ago, to be fair.
Yeah, the criteria has changed.
Yeah, I would say so. So I think there's a few there that we could maybe rule out immediately, but certainly not all. There's some places on that list that very much could be in contention for hosting it.
And it's worth saying last year, the criteria, the EBU's host city criteria, was about the venue had to accommodate at least 10,000 spectators and as well as a press centre. And I think you're right. I mean, definitely Manchester, Glasgow on that list, obviously London, quite a few of them still can compete with that, still have a big enough arena for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think, I wonder if you've slightly changed your mind on who you think is going to be hosting now, because you and I for a while have been saying it's definitely going to be Manchester, but everyone seems to be talking about Glasgow.
Everyone's going on about Glasgow, Martin. And I mean, I'd love it to be in Glasgow. I think that'd be great. I do wonder if it's big enough. I know Glasgow is big, obviously, in comparison to some of the places on that list. Yeah, I have no problem with being at Glasgow. Obviously, I prefer it to be Manchester because I'm from there. I just wasn't quite sure, but everybody is, you know, it's way ahead in all the polls. If you see any of these polls about the host city, everyone's Glasgow. So let's just see. I mean, it's going to be a couple of weeks now for the BBC to mull this over, and there'll be plenty of things that they've got to keep in their mind, you know, put some political things as well. So it'll be interesting to see which way they fall on. It could be a completely random thing. They might just be like, well, you know what, let's hold it in Hull.
Yeah, well, and why not? Of course, you will know about it literally some days after it happens right here on Null Poir.
Hey, Martin, you know, with all this talk about, you know, host cities, it's got me thinking about a particular time.
Oh, right. What time is that?
Well, Martin, that time is trivia time!
Oh, my word, it is back. After we wrote it off in the previous episode, it's back with a vengeance.
Listen, we didn't write it off. We just said we're also thinking of other features. And that feature, by the way, hasn't died. We will discuss that in our correspondent section. With the rise of us talking about UK host cities, I think it only made sense for us to take a little quick look back at where it has been hosted in the UK before.
Right, yeah. I think that's a really good idea because it has been in the UK quite a few times. The only one I remember is the most recent one, but are you going to go back in time, Gressy?
I am going way back, and we'll start off with the first time that was ever hosted in the UK, and it was 1960 in London, and it was at the Royal Festival Hall. Then jump ahead 3 years later, 1963, it was in London again, and it was at the BBC Television Centre. 1968, it was in London again. It was at the Royal Albert Hall.
I don't think it's going to be in London this time round, you know.
I don't think so either. In 1972, they decided to change it up a bit. It was in Edinburgh, Usher Hall. 1974, I think probably the most famous time it's been hosted in the UK. Brighton.
ABBA, of course. Yeah.
ABBA. ABBA performed Waterloo. Olivia Newton-John represented the UK. It was at the Brighton Dome. I think everyone remembers. I mean, obviously, even if you weren't there, you've seen the clips of ABBA performing. In 1974 in Brighton. 1977, it was in London again. It was at the Wembley Conference Centre. Which is not quite called that anymore. But in 1982, it was randomly, and I do think we have to do an episode about this at some point, it was in Harrogate.
Really strange that, isn't it? It's a very small kind of spa town in the north of England.
And one little thing I do know about this, do you know how big the venue was in Harrogate? It was a newly opened centre, the Harrogate International Centre. Do you know how big the centre was? What the capacity was?
Oh, go on.
2,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now the requirement is a minimum of 10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so, just the audience. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like everyone was a bit, even at the time, was a bit confused why I was in Harrogate, but I think we should do an episode about that. And finally, 1998, Birmingham was the last one, the National Indoor Arena, a little bit bigger, I will say, than 2000. But it's worth saying that not all of those times are because the UK won. We haven't won all those times. We stepped in and hosted it four times. times, for the Netherlands in 1960, for France in 1963, for Monaco in 1972, and Luxembourg in 1974. So when ABBA were performing, we were just hosting it for Luxembourg. And these are all due to the fact that the countries didn't have the financial capacity, didn't have the capacity to host it, basically. So we just stepped in.
Which is exactly what's happened this time round as well.
For very
understandable reasons. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much for that addition, Cress, of...
Trivia Time!
Now, thank you so much for getting in touch with... I mean, we've been talking about all sorts, actually, over this week, because there's been so many things to bring you. Thank you for getting in touch in all the different forms. There's email, there's Twitter, there's Instagram. Starting off, then, with a little Twitter poll that we've been running, where we've thrown out a few cities, a few big cities in the UK, and we said, you know, where do you want it to be? And the results are in.
They are in, indeed. And in bottom place, perhaps unsurprising. Fortunately, with a Twitter poll, you can only have four options, by the way. I did get people to add extras if they thought there should have been others. But in at number four, it was Cardiff with 5.9% of the votes. Not many people thinking it's being held in Cardiff. London was next with 7.8%, so just above Cardiff, really.
No one wants London. No one wants London.
The two main hitters, and I think it doesn't surprise anyone here, were Manchester and Glasgow. Manchester came in second with 39.2%, but Glasgow pretty, you know, pulling quite hard away, as we've been saying, with 47.1%.
Doing really well there, Glasgow.
There you go. Everyone else, maybe we're just clueless, Martin.
I think
it would be the first time.
Maybe we are. I think 100% that is the case. Your thoughts as well have been coming in thick and fast on where you want to host, not just with this poll. Martin, for example, says, hi Martin, says, asking a question really, do Glasgow and Cardiff have venues large enough? I think,
well,
Glasgow's got the hydro, hasn't it?
Glasgow's got the hydro. I've been looking into this, Martin. Thanks for getting in contact. Glasgow's hydro is 14,300 capacity. And in Cardiff, the Principality Stadium, which does have a retractable roof, so it's got to have an indoor element, even though it's a football stadium, and it does, that's got like 74,000 people it could fit. So that could definitely do it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing to have it in the Principality? That would be great. That would be really, really good. But Cardiff not really doing too well. Luke's been in touch as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, Luke, for getting in contact. It's pretty funny. Luke has sent us two emails, one pre the announcement of the UK hosting it, and one post. Pre, he says, congrats on your Edge of Glory moment, talking about our podcast awards trip. Very much deserved, he said, which reminds me, I hope Sam at least gets nominated for a Brit. He jolly well deserves it. Well, yeah, very true, actually.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens
very
there.
True.
He also suggests a name for our karaoke segment. He calls it Flop the Bop, which I quite like.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
We like it, Luke. We do like it. He says, I give you mine, devoid of copyright claims. Thank you for that, Luke. If people are wondering what is this feature, do catch up on the previous episode. But it's basically, we want to have people singing badly Eurovision songs, and we've got to guess what it is. Myself and Martin, and you guys as well, sending in your stuff. So if you've got ideas for that, very welcome. But thank you, Luke, for that. He did then go on to say about hosting of next year's contest, are the BBC doing it, and what they're going to do about the bidding process. But he then did send another email saying, follow up to yesterday's email, that's part of my email now officially out of date. So thanks for that, Luke, for that. But yes, appreciate that. If you do want to get in contact on email, we are norpoirpodcast@gmail.com. also on Twitter, if you want to check out the poll or just give us a tweet, we are @poirnull. And don't forget, we put up pictures of us at the British Podcast Awards. That's all on our Instagram as well, Null Poir Podcast.
We've had an entry, you know, for the Flop the Bop, or
have we?
Or terrible, what was it called? Yeah, Euro Terrible.
Whatever
singer.
We want to call it, yeah. Oh, go on then.
Our friend Rob, who we've been to many Eurovisions with in the past, got in touch with this.
Submission for radio feature Euro Terrible Singer, working title.
I got a cagada bagada. No brew at all. I got a.
I know what this is. Well, he descended into nonsense there, I feel, at the end. But
descended.
I do actually...
I think it started with nonsense.
It started with... Thank you, Rob, for that entry. That's exactly the kind of thing we want, by the way. Thank you so much, Rob, for that. It's got to be really badly sung. So Flop the Bop or You're a Terrible Singer. Maybe we'll have to put this to a vote on our Twitter as well. That's I've Got a Cake to Bake, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Which is a Latvian entry, which never even made it to the final, we all, when we went, and Chris and I and everybody we were with, we were just obsessed with, weren't we? We just absolutely loved it. I can't even remember who the performers were, but it was the Latvian entry, and it was called Cake to Bake, and it was a ridiculous, brilliant song, and we've been obsessed with it ever since. So thank you, Rob, for that. We've managed to guess that one, but I think because it's very dear to our hearts.
Yeah, I'm not like some kind of Eurovision whiz that they're like, wow, how does she get that? And it wasn't even in Eurovision. No, it's just because it's a little in-joke between us. But that's the kind of thing we want. Please do. If you want to send it, like literally just record a little voice note and send it to us on nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter, send us a DM, etc., etc. Literally just like a little 30-second thing, if that, of you singing badly. I have to stress, it's got to be badly. If you're just singing it normally, it will not get in the show.
Yeah, it's got to be as rubbish as possible. On that note, thank you very much for listening to this particular bumper edition of the podcast. We are very, very excited. As always, please keep those emails and those Twitters and those Instagrams coming in, and we will continue the conversation on the next edition of
Nullpoir!